This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, January 2nd. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. DWR nudges up water forecast. DPR eyes stricter paraquat rules. And House faces speaker vote. DWR's cautious approach frustrates contractors. The Department of Water Resources has nudged up its water allocations for the coming irrigation season, that after starting with a meager 5% of contracted supplies. DWR has now factored in strong storms in late November and early December to inch up the forecast to 15%. Perhaps sensing the tension, Director Carla Nemeth pointed out that DWR typically revises allocations later in January, but, quote, felt it important to let our state water contractors know of the increase as soon as possible to allow them to better plan. State climatologist Michael Anderson noted California is still in the early months of the wet season and conditions could rapidly change. Yet Southern California remains disproportionately dry, and the forecast for the new year is sobering, with the state lined up for a dry January. Cork the champagne? Well, there was no celebrating for Jennifer Pierre, general manager of State Water Contractors. She appreciated DWR's responsiveness to the evolving climate challenges, but described the low number as overly conservative and said the situation, quote, underscores the precarious balance of our water supply system in the face of unpredictable weather patterns. The modest increase in allocations demonstrates the need to invest in modern infrastructure and to update state regulations, she reasoned. The water contractors are leaning on Governor Gavin Newsom's Delta Tunnel proposal to better capture flood flows and on his support for the voluntary agreements alternative for the Bay Delta plan. DPR ties paraquat to birth defects and wildlife impacts. Paraquat may be harming birds along with some mammals and aquatic organisms, and the state may need to adopt stricter mitigation measures that, according to a preliminary review of the service of the herbicide by the Department of Pesticide Regulation. DPR is also investigating a potential association between paraquat exposure and thyroid issues and birth defects in humans. In October, Governor Gavin Newsom signed AB 1963, requiring DPR to reevaluate paraquat by 2029. Farm groups pushed the department to instead focus on registering alternatives to the pesticide. DPR's report upheld a U.S. EPA review of paraquat in 2019 that denied any relationship to Parkinson's disease. AB 1963 author Laura Friedman of Burbank, who swapped her assembly seat for a House district in November, had warned of a Parkinson's connection when she attempted to ban paraquat in an earlier draft of the bill. Next steps? Well, DPR is accepting public comment through February 13th and will determine any regulatory changes to paraquat by the fall. Response? Well, the Center for Biological Diversity seized on the announcement. The environmental group had backed AB 1963 and argues DPR's findings justify a ban. Legal Director Jonathan Evans proclaimed the state, quote, is letting Big Ag use hundreds of thousands of pounds a year of this incredibly harmful pesticide. Irrigators blast Biden's politicized water plan. Weeks away from President-elect Donald Trump's taking office, the Biden administration has finalized its plan for operating the Central Valley Project to protect endangered fish species. The four-year race to rework a plan crafted under Trump's first term has driven irrigation districts to blast the final result as rushed and flawed. The Fryant Water Authority claimed water users, community leaders, and interest groups warned the administration of the, quote, severe dangers of prioritizing politics over science. The San Joaquin Valley water provider called the decision reckless and said it threatens the livelihoods of farmers. The Water Authority hopes the Trump administration will initiate significant corrective action to restore balance and fairness. Federico Barajas, executive director of the San Luis Delta Mendota Water Authority, appreciated the plan's attempt to better coordinate operations with the state water project, but it will come at a cost, cutting 100,000 acre feet of the authority's annual water supply. According to Barajas, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has determined the approach would not provide the intended benefit to species. Also unhappy, well, trade groups for commercial sport fishing companies charge the modest improvements will fall far short of reaching the state and federal goal of doubling the fall-run Chinook salmon population. But Governor Newsom thanked the Biden administration for, quote, taking action to make our water system more resilient through a more adaptive framework. He viewed the plan as laying the groundwork for building Sites Reservoir and the Delta Tunnel Project. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Year in review. Farm bill, elections, disasters, and H5N1 dominate the news. Here's a look at the top news stories for each month, lightly edited to avoid a few cases of duplication. That based on AgriPulse web traffic analytics. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. In food and ag, Carter was the non-political president. AgriPulse contributing editor Jim Wester reflects on his time as Assistant Secretary of Agriculture for Governmental and Public Affairs during Jimmy Carter's administration. Congress to begin with contentious speaker election and debt ceiling talks. Welcome to the new year and a new GOP-controlled Congress. Lawmakers are facing some tough debates and choices when the 119th Congress kicks off tomorrow, starting off with Mike Johnson's bid for re-election as House Speaker. The GOP would like to avoid the infighting that was on display during the dramatic effort to pass short-term government funding in December. President-elect Donald Trump urged Republicans to re-elect Johnson, and Elon Musk also shared his support for the Speaker. The problem for Johnson's hardline conservative critics is there's no evidence of any other Republican that could get more votes, a challenge that President-elect Trump has noted. Republicans won't want to see a repeat of what happened in October 23 when the GOP speakership battle dragged on for 3 weeks. Keep in mind, a speaker must be elected to swear in members to certify the 2024 presidential election results next Monday. Congress then faces a deadline as early as January 14th to raise the national debt limit, after which the Treasury Department will need to take extraordinary measures to prevent default, Secretary Janet Yellen wrote to congressional leaders last week. In December, Trump pushed Republicans to suspend the debt limit for 2 years as a part of the stopgap spending bill. But Republicans ultimately agreed to punt the debt limit increase to the upcoming budget reconciliation process. That increase could be paired with $2.5 trillion in spending cuts. Well, here's today's final word. Descendants of the original dam building are still living in the area, and some even work here today. That Elizabeth Hadley, Northern California manager at the Bureau of Reclamation, celebrating the 80th anniversary of the Shasta Dam. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, January 2nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.